Morales.
Sí, señor.
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin. Primos are in the house. Ricky Torres, Hector Reyes.
What's up, guys? Back in action. Ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, órale, órale, órale. Gracias, everybody, for joining us. Es un placer y aquí estamos a sus órdenes. Make sure you're checking out our website at familiaffb.com as well as our social media channels at familiaffb on Twitter and Instagram and our Familia FFB Facebook page. So we're going to first off get into some chisme. David Montgomery is going to miss 2 to 4 weeks after suffering a groin strain on Wednesday during practice, during a non-contact drill. He actually went down, looked like he slipped on maybe wet grass or something, and it looked bad. It looked like it might be season ending. So 2 to 4 weeks actually sounds pretty good. The question is, where are you drafting him? And I'm looking at fading him because, quite honestly, you're talking about a groin strain, 2 to 4 weeks. That, to me, is, I think he's missing at least the first 2 weeks of the season because that would be the four-week time frame. I always go on the higher side when I hear these type of, you know, ranges because of the fact that a lot of times it is the longer period of time that the player is out. So I'm looking at other people. David Montgomery is in that range with Le'Veon Bell, James Conner, Todd Gurley. That's kind of a dangerous area. That's somewhere where you want to be picking your receivers. So I don't know. Speaking of running backs missing time, Joe Mixon has missed several days in a row with migraines. So that is concerning a little bit. I think it's 5 days in a row now that he's missed practice. So I wasn't a big fan of Mixon to begin with. I don't like his offensive line. I don't like the fact that their defense is going to be bad, and the rookie quarterback, I think he's got a lot going against him. And to pick him on the back half of the first round, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that investment. So something to monitor at some point with a lot of drafts coming up starting this weekend. It's that you're going to see that his draft position, his ADP, get impacted. Colts wide receiver Paris Campbell, he's on the concussion protocol after suffering a car accident. So, Coach Frank Reich even said if you looked at his car, you wouldn't say it was minor. So, definitely not. It's a concussion. It's not any other bodily injuries. Paris Campbell is a guy who's being taken as a flyer later in drafts, kind of that lottery ticket after an injury marred rookie season. So, something to keep an eye on there. It's you don't like to see any kind of injuries, especially someone who you're looking at as having upside like Campbell does. So let's keep an eye on it when he returns to practice. Another guy who's been absent from practice a few days, DeAndre Swift. Apparently he's got a leg injury, which, this is kind of an important training camp for him, being a rookie, being in competition with Kerryon Johnson. Kerryon Johnson is getting the first team reps, even though he's playing with a sleeve on his knee. I think this muddles things. I still like Swift more than Kerryon Johnson going into the season. I just don't know if I'm willing to invest more than like a fifth or sixth round pick in him, especially now that he hasn't been practicing. So that's something to monitor as we go along with practice. Definitely, everybody, Familia, keep an eye on the practice reports, the training camp, the word from training camp, from your local, from websites and newspaper and all of those. Last item is Eagles left tackle Andre Dillard suffered a biceps injury and he's out for the season. So that's the second offensive lineman that the Eagles have lost for the season. And so it's worrisome because their offensive line was one of the best in the league last year, and it was number 10 ranked by Pro Football Focus going into the season. So Jason Peters, who was the starting left tackle last year, who was coming back to be a guard, Jason Peters looks like he's going to be returning to his old position. So maybe there is enough depth and continuity there for this team to go. Well, that's it for Cheese Man. All right. So this is the Tesoro edition of our two-part series. Last time out, we did the basura. So we decided to go negative first.
Yeah, took out the trash. Now we're finishing on a positive note, looking for those Hoyas, that hidden treasure, the gems.
Yeah, man.
So we're going to players where we really like their ADP, their value. So here goes Ricky with a familiar face.
Let me just start off, guys. I'm giving you gold tier. And I feel like last week I saved you guys. I gave you, right earlier the week, I gave you the trash. And now I'm really giving you gold. So I hope you appreciate what I'm doing for you.
Thanks, man.
And this is gold because I would totally lie to you and Georgie, but I wouldn't lie to our fans, which, therefore, Austin Eckler, everybody. I know I'm a Charger fan. Boo-hoo me, but this dude is golden when he's got the ball.
Yeah, he
And
is.
he's yet to have it for a whole season because Melvin Gordon's a little he wanted to hog it. He wanted to come back halfway through the season or however many games he missed when Eckler was doing fantastic. It's like, no, now Esther's gonna be getting the rock all the time. He's gonna be more of the focus because they're gonna wanna run, especially because they know how good Eckler is. They're gonna wanna run with the ball. Eckler's got no real with Kelly and Jackson, they're not gonna be you're not worried about them stealing the ball away from Eckler, taking away passes on the side or anything. Because Eckler can do it all. He's gonna be the safety valve for Tyrod Taylor. And it's just I don't know. He's right now the reason he's my Tesoro is because he's going in the late second round. I hate that he's like totally in the middle, so I can't have him because I'm going to be late third round, early fourth. So it's like I am not going to be able to get him. And it is tempting to pick him up second round with the first pick in the second round. But the guy's easily going to get over 1,000 receiving yards this year. If he's the lead Kavile, easily. He had 993 last year with 11 touchdowns. It's like, and he wasn't the lead Kavile either. So when you look at these numbers, it's just juicy because he didn't have good quarterback play in Phillip Rivers either. So a lot of the games they had to play from behind. So when you know that a team's not going to do well and play from behind, it sucks to have that running back. Unless you know the running back's a great pass catcher. And in this case, Eckler's a hell of a pass catcher, one of the best in the leagues, because as soon as he gets the ball, he's dangerous because he's huge. He's like tiny huge. He's not like Sproles, who's tiny and
He's
elusive.
Impact
He's
huge. He makes
he
a big
can not only be
impact
elusive,
big time.
yeah, he can knock you out. No, you're right, Heck, and I love that. My mouth is getting all wet, like I'm slobbering because I'm like, heck yeah, I want this guy. But it's
Well, I
like,
think, yeah.
who's backing him up? I mean, he's got good backups that are great, but he doesn't have to worry about them stealing the limelight. And it's like, I don't know. I just feel like everything's going up. The Chargers are finally getting their O-line healthy. They just picked up a new lineman that they traded for from the Panthers, so they can have some veterans there. And it's just like everything's lining up for him. He's going the 10th pick in the second round. It's like, ooh, I wish he was falling. I wish I could get him.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wish I could.
No, you're absolutely right. Everything you're saying is spot on. And it looks like after Eckler, there's a lot of question marks because he's going right now, what, RB14? After him, you got Gurley, question marks about the knee. After him, you got Leonard Fournette, some question marks there that we talked about before as well. Chris Carson, and then you have Jonathan Taylor. So it almost seems like if you're not scooping up Eckler, there's kind of a drop off there, or whoever picks up Eckler last, the next, it's like the next group of running backs is almost like it drops down a tier. Like it's almost like kind of like Eckler is the bottom half of like an upper tier, and then the next series of running backs that are in line are kind of like in the next tier level of running back. So yeah,
And
he's
I'd rather have
explosive.
him than Josh
Yeah.
Jacobs. I'd rather have him over Mixon and Chubb and Sanders and Jones.
I'm
He's
pretty
he could just
sure.
explode.
All right, George, we're gonna make a bet. A beer bet. You tell
Okay,
me.
let
Wait,
me get it going.
you tell me. I'm guessing that Rick, being at number 12, he's gonna take Austin Eckler at 2.01.
I'm not that.
I'm
You're
betting
gonna pass on him? You're gonna pass on him.
I'm gonna definitely try my hardest to trade for
the
him.
The way that you're speaking about Eckler right now, I believe you will not allow yourself to not draft him in the second round with the first pick. I don't see it happening. Just saying. I'm just saying.
I think now that I got the word out, I don't think he's gonna fall to me anymore.
Of course, he won't fall to you. He won't last through the second round. No way. If you got to pick him up, you got to pick him up 2.01. So. We shall see, but I agree with everything you're saying. The guy's a beast. He's ready to move up to superstar status.
You know, he ended up, you know, he got 132 carries last year, which is not what you expect from Elite Caballo. But when you look at Alvin Kamara, there is some comparison to be had here. I mean, it's that same one, that same rushing receiving combination. You know, Kamara had, you know, when he broke out, he only got 120 rush attempts. In 2018, when he had that amazing 18 touchdown year, he had 194 rush attempts. Maybe Austin Eckler doesn't need so many rush attempts because he has that high volume on the receiving. And he's still that lead caballo when it comes to the guy who's going to be scoring touchdowns for them. So I think even though he's going to be going higher, then he way higher than he did last year, because I think he went in like the fifth or sixth round. I think he's going to be underrated. I think he's still going to be underrated at that ADP. So I hate it that we're all agreeing. So it's going to make a good show if we're all like,
in PPR, he's early second round. In non-PPR, he's more later second round. So it's, and we're non-PPR. So it's like, I wish we could trade draft picks, because I would definitely trade my second rounder for a lower second rounder and a higher third.
Oh, man.
Look at you, man. Try to add all these crazy rules to our draft.
Luckily,
Vic will not let you convince him of such.
He'll knock it down.
Such right. Mockeries.
Well, Hector, take us to your guy, your first guy.
All right, Alabama product Mark Ingram. So as you know, running backs that come out of Alabama have been known to be beasts. Mark Ingram is no exception. And of course, first thing that we know, being on the Baltimore Ravens, is that everyone's talking about, oh, Lamar Jackson is going to be running so much less this year. So what does that mean? Let's say for some weird reason that actually happens. So Lamar Jackson runs less. What does that mean? Mark Ingram runs more. Yes, J.K. Dobbins is coming into the fold. But if Lamar Jackson does run less, all that means is that Mark Ingram runs more, and the guy is a beast when he runs. He's currently going RB24, which is crazy. He's going before Le'Veon Bell, which is crazy. He's going before Raheem Mostert. He's going before David Johnson on a mediocre or sketchy, should I say, Houston offense. So I love Mark Ingram at RB24. He's currently going around the fifth round. I would take him all day. Last year, 1,018 rushing yards, 10 touchdowns rushing, 5 touchdowns receiving. I mean, he had 5 TDs on just 26 receptions. I mean, obviously Lamar Jackson likes him. They have great rapport there. I can't see any reason why he's going this late. I mean, he's going in the fifth round, RB 24. Mark Ingram on a Baltimore Ravens offense, as explosive as it is, to me, that's crazy. So if you can scoop up Mark Ingram at this level, I'm getting him all day in the fifth round. I don't think he's going to last that long. If I could scoop him up in the fourth round, I would, because I honestly don't think he'll last till the fifth round. So, but yes, all signs are pointing to Mark Ingram having an even larger workload than he had last year. So I'm getting this
great,
guy.
Great pick. Great pick. Horrible logic. Great pick. Just because Lamar is going to run less doesn't mean they're going to do. Those weren't designed running plays to begin with. But anyway, so I disagree with you on that. I think Lamar's still going to try to run. They might try to pass more, but I definitely think Mark Ingram's on a team that's just going to be spitting out fantasy points galore. And I'm very big on this whole, the rookies aren't going to see an NFL defense till moment. So, and that's my voice. So I think Dobbins isn't going to have that big of an effect. So I would not pick up Ingram higher than what he's being you know, drafted at, which is early fourth round. But I would definitely hop on him. He's the guy that you want to make sure everyone else skips on and you pick him up. Because people are, because they're going to see Dobbins and they're going to say,
right, oh, it's Dobbins. Oh, running back by committee. Oh, no.
Like, no, Ingram's got gas in the tank because last year he led the team the whole year. But the year before that, like, he's been doing he's a part-timer on teams. So it's like he's got plenty of gas in the tank. I think he's going to be awesome. I think he'll catch some balls, hopefully, more often this year and add to that. But this team's going to score points galore. He's definitely going to get the ball more because, like you said, he's going to run a little bit more because Lamar's not running, not a lot more. But this team's going to be
golden
this year.
Yes.
And grab this guy.
Here's what I'll say. There were plenty of design runs last year. You're almost making it sound like they're, you know, the times that Lamar Jackson ran, it's because like it was a busted play or whatever. No way, man. Lamar Jackson ran tons of designed quarterback runs. So yeah, like I said, if he's gonna, you know, dial that back a little bit, that will definitely mean more opportunities. My opinion, my humble opinion, for Mark Ingram.
I think it's a good pick.
I'm. The thing I look at this team, they ran the ball 596 times last year. I don't know if they replicate that, but let's say they dial that back to 550. That's still a lot of rushing attempts that are available. And I'm not willing to write off J.K. Dobbins, but I don't think it's going to be at the expense of Mark Ingram.
Not at all.
I think he's going to take carries away from Gus Edwards, and Dobbins is going to work his way into some carries. But I still think that Ingram is going to be in that 900 to a thousand plus yard range, and maybe not. I don't think he gets five touchdowns receiving, but I think he's still going to be a guy who's going to he's still going to be a threat. They've got a phenomenal offensive line, great defense, and they've got a pretty soft schedule. So other than facing Pittsburgh twice,
they got a very soft schedule.
I still like him, even though I still like J.K. Dobbins. I think there's just gonna be enough balls to go around. So
yep.
Speaking of balls going around, the guy who he was playing point guard for the Detroit Lions last year, Matthew Stafford. So he's my pick for my first pick.
Good pick.
You know, he's going as the QB 13, which to me is just mind boggling. I think it's all because he got hurt. He missed eight games. You know, he got hurt first time in that he missed a game since 2010.
It was a scary injury, though.
It was a scary injury. Back injuries are not to be trifled with. So, yes, you still think about it. He's still 32. So you hope that everything is fine and hope their offensive line is a little bit better. But, man, I mean, he was pushing the ball down the field. I mean, his complete yards per completion rate was at 13.4 was the best in his career. His touchdown rate at 7.1% was number four in the league. His yards per attempt was number two in the league at 8.6. He was averaged over 300 yards. He was on a pace to pass for almost just right about 5,000 yards. And you know, and you saw the difference when he was out. The team threw for only 1,400 yards as a team. You know, it was the different quarterbacks. I look at Stafford, and it's like there's still continuity. It's the same head coach, same offensive coordinator, same weapons in Kenny Golladay and Marvin Jones. Hopefully you got T.J. Hockenson, even though we got some not so encouraging training camp reports. I just look at him, and I look at the numbers that Matteo Iello puts out there, and he's going several rounds earlier, and I'm like,
he's going QB 10.
Yeah, he's going QB 10 in I'm going to tell you in a second in the seventh round. So, and you got Stafford going to the ninth. So you got a 2-round discount for pretty much similar stats, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think?
I think you're right in the fact that, God, people are picking up Daniel Jones before him, Carson Wentz. I don't know. I think he was a top five quarterback when he was playing. He was averaging almost, if he would have finished the year, he could have averaged easily over 5,000 yards, which nowadays I guess is going to be the new average. But, I mean, it's hard to say oh my goodness, but it's like there are so many great quarterbacks, because other than Stafford, who's better than him, you got Matt Ryan, Josh Allen, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. I know Stafford can pass these guys as far as at the end of the year. He'll pass them in points, but it's like, I don't know. It's just that back injury kind of scares me from him. But you're right. He's treasure down there because there's garbage after that. Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins. He's the last of the good guys. And not only that, he's got a high ceiling. So I think you're right on that.
Oh, yeah. But just like you said, just the fact that they improve the offensive line. I mean, you're gonna give him some definite time back there in the pocket, and that's gonna help him out. You know, and he's got his weapons. He's got his receivers. Who's he got over there? He's got Galladay over there. Like you said, Hawkinson. If he's healthy.
And Jones. Don't forget Marvin Jones.
Marvitron. You know, my guy, Marvitron. Yeah. Marvin Jones. So yeah, there's no reason to believe that he can't outplay his current ADP. I think he will. And I'm not too scared about the injury either. I think he's had plenty of time to heal up, and I think he'll be ready to go. I think I don't have any reason to believe that he wouldn't finish top 10.
All right, Rick.
Ooh, Zach Moss is going to be taking more of the passing game. Good for him. I don't care.
How'd that go again?
It's hard to do the voice. I can do it anytime you care. I think that was the coach speaking too.
Got it.
This team is the new. I mean, they're primed. People like the way this team looks. It's like them in Arizona. They got all the pieces. They had little glimpses last year. It's like, all right, if the quarterback play, Josh Allen can just be a little bit more in the passing. If he can run less, like he says he wants to, and according to Hector's logic, Josh Allen minus rushing attempts equals Devin Singletary plus rushing attempts, which is going to be great. Devin Singletary only gave us 12 games. Had he given us 16, his 775 rushing yards could have easily made it to 1,000. One thing he doesn't do is he's not a big receiver, but that's fine. He's going to be their lead caballo, and he's going to be what Georgie loves, and that's a second-year breakout candidate. I just feel like he was ball-hogged by Gore last season. And we all know that even though Gore's old, Gore's still super efficient. Him and Adrian Peterson drink the same water or something. And they just guards, and somehow they're fantasy killers, because if Adrian Peterson's on a team, he's not good enough to be on your fantasy team, but you definitely don't want any of the other running backs on that team because he's just going to suck their points away. But when it comes to Devin Singletary, now he's the lead caballo. He's big. He's CEH size. So he missed time last year with the hamstring pull. I'm going to put that as a fluke. I don't want to say that's soft tissue and it's going to linger. I just feel like this guy easily is going to have a great year because he's now going to get all of the Gore red zone carries. And they're not going to give it to Moss because, like I said, Moss is a rookie. He's never seen an NFL defense. Why are you going to trust him? I just think the NFL gods are shining on Singletary. He's got a classic last name. His father is Singletary, right?
Not Mike Singletary. That's not his dad.
Oh, he needs to be related because he's
he needs to be related. It can happen, Rick.
This team just looks like they're going to break out because they got a lot of youth. You have Stephon Diggs, who's still young.
Yes.
You have the John Brown, who's going to be running up. Josh Allen, who's also very young, who needs to grow a little bit more.
Allen's a badass.
He needs to take
Josh
less
Allen
risk.
He's a badass. They're going to go risk far
with his body. But that's why I feel like Devin Singletary has the type of team that can spread the ball, and that's just going to allow him to just pound it up. And I would love it if I can get him at all on my team. I would love it.
Well, I look at Singletary. You know, to me, it's the situation, and we talked about this. I think even before the summer, I think the Bills are trying to be like the Ravens 2.0, and they're going to run the ball a lot. They've got a quarterback who runs the ball quite a bit. So I think Singletary is going to get his carries, and I think Moss is going to get his carries. I think Moss may vulture him on some carries at the goal line,
But, you know, I did a little look at the stats on Singletary. He in his final eight games, he had over 600 yards. So double that, that's 1,200 yards. And then he had 20 receptions. So he would have 40 receptions, which is very respectable for a running back. So I think, you know, I think he's right at his ADP. I don't know if he's I don't know if I would consider him a big value, but I think some people are starting to write him off, and I'm kind of glad, Ricky, that you're holding true, because I think there's going to be enough balls for him and for Moss and yep. for Josh Allen.
See, I don't even think Moss is going to be a challenge to him. And I just look at where he's being drafted. It's like I'd rather have him over Gurley, over Montgomery, even over David Johnson. And so if you can pass on those three guys and just wait and get Singletary, boom, DeSoto.
Hector, you got a DeSoto out in the East Coast, kind of the middle.
Oh, man, my personal treasure, my man crush, Teddy Bridgewater. I'm trying to do some mathematics here, and I'm just not able to make these numbers work. Maybe you guys can help me out for a second here. Teddy Bridgewater is currently going QB24. His top wide receiver, DJ Moore, is currently wide receiver 16. And last time I checked, his running back, Christian McCaffrey, is RB number one. So how is it? I would love
to know what math you're trying to get at.
How is it that a guy can be QB24 when he's supposed to be on this explosive offense with CMC, who catches the ball a lot, with DJ Moore, who's set to catch the ball a lot at wide receiver 16, but you have Teddy Bridgewater at QB24? I don't understand it. I don't get it. Vegas has the Panthers at 5.5 games won this season over under. I don't get any of this math. None of this math makes any sense to me, but I'm glad, because that means that Teddy Bridgewater will be available to me as I pick him late in the draft, when everyone else is going to pass on him, because I'm going to pick him up. He won 5 games in a row for the Saints last year when Drew Brees went down. You know, talking about familiarity, his offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, he worked with him in New Orleans. Yes, there's talk of the Panthers having a bad defense. However, they went defense heavy. I think their first 6 or 7 draft picks, or however many rounds were in the NFL draft, they went all defense. They drafted defense, 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 top to bottom. So they stacked their defense with their draft. They added Robbie Anderson, who I was in love with the Jets. I had him on my squad. That guy is a burner. That guy will put up points all day. So he's got great weapons, Teddy Bridgewater does. I'm just not seeing it. I'm not understanding how this guy is going so late. You know, he's going undrafted in some drafts. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Like I said, everybody out there, keep an eye on Teddy Bridgewater. You can pick him up late at a great value, because most of the guys in your drafts are not going to pay him any attention. Make sure you scoop him up as your second QB at least, and watch what happens, because at least at some point of the season, he's going to start making a lot of noise, and he may end up being your starter down the stretch. I'm telling you, believe me.
I'm a little jealous that you actually have some good advice, Heck.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Well, I must have listened to you preemptively, because last week in the Estadio Fantasy Bowl, I picked Stafford, and boom. Then I picked Teddy B.
You read my brain wave.
And Teddy
man,
B was my number two guy. So
There you go.
Gracias, primo. Well, I'm going to get I got the next guy, and you know, in the last episode, in the Basura episode, I talked about Amari Cooper as one of my three picks. Well, I'm picking his teammate as a tesoro, Michael Gallup, who's going as the wide receiver 29. The wide receiver 29 and in the 6th round, whereas Cooper is going in the 3rd round. He's going at the early 3rd round, and Gallup is going late 6th round. I look at that, and I'm like, yo no sé. I mean, he played 14 games, so he played 2 fewer games than Cooper, and he had 1,107 receiving yards when Cooper was at just pushing 1,200. So you got to figure in 2 more games, Gallup is gonna catch that. I look at him. He's definitely a different type of receiver, more of a slot receiver, and maybe not going to catch as many touchdowns. But I mean, I look at this guy. I mean, he's got so many pluses for him. He's just a yardage machine. He was, you know, number 7 in the league in yards per reception. He had 79.1 yards per game, which was number 6 in the league, tied with Mike Evans. That dude's a beast.
That says a lot. That says a lot right there.
So they talk about him being – so he's just an underrated target monster. And I look at the fact that, you know, people are saying, well, you know, CeeDee Lamb's going to take receptions away from, you know, I don't think so. I don't think so. When Randall Cobb left, he left behind 83 receptions. Jason Witten, same number of receptions. There were 190 receptions total between Cobb, Witten, and Tavon Austin, who all are no longer on the Cowboys and weren't really replaced, other than with CeeDee Lamb. I think Gallup is still going to be a guy who's going to get well over 100, somewhere between 100 and 120 targets, and he's going to be going to get 1,000 yards, well over 1,000 yards, and to me, he's going to be kind of like that underrated guy like Robert Woods is.
I don't disagree with you. I wide receiver 29. Yeah, and I think what you're kind of getting at is that at the end of the season, Gallup and Amari Cooper are probably going to end up pretty similar as far as output, as far as production goes. So you're looking at Michael Gallup getting drafted 3 rounds later than Amari Cooper. So if you miss out on Cooper, or you know, if you want a you know, piece of, you know, the Cowboy real estate, and you don't want to, you know, waste it, as it were, on Amari Cooper, you can still get a great value with Gallup later on. He's currently going like I said, wide receiver 29 in the 6th round.
Let me just tell you, Georgie, I'm really happy that I'm drinking this double IPA with Citra hops, because your pick just left a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, that's the beer, man. That's your beer.
Gallup. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you literally complain about Cooper having on and off games. I feel like Gallup, he's got to be your like third wide receiver. If I wouldn't even want Gallup as my flex. Like on my team,
I wouldn't mind him being my flex.
I would, because I just feel like he's going to hit or miss every now and then. He's either going to get 2 points.
Well, every receiver does that. I mean, Dak Prescott.
I'd rather have Gary.
He was QB3. Dak Prescott was QB3.
Let me look.
Again, in the 6th round, wide receiver 29, that is a treasure. Not saying that he's a bad guy or that Amari Cooper's a bad guy. Just from a value standpoint.
And Scary Terry, 26 and 27. I would way rather. I'm trying to see where on this you see that he's even 29, because I got him as, well, I have him 32. But it's like, I'd rather have Will Fuller than Gallup. I'd rather have Tyler Boyd than Gallup. I'd rather have Marvin Jones than Gallup. Emmanuel Sanders than Gallup. Deontay Johnson. And these are all people way lower than him.
I don't know about, you don't say about some of those guys.
Tyler Boyd with Joe Burrow. Tyler Boyd, I don't know.
I would, because Tyler Boyd was a monster at points last year with garbage.
Yeah, but he had a different quarterback, though.
And then when you look at, where are we? Look, Gallup. Yeah, Will Fuller, I'd rather have.
I do like Will Fuller this year. I don't know if I like him more than Gallup.
I like Michael Gallup. Like I said, you can't sneeze at the fact that Dak Prescott was QB3 overall last year. So someone was going to catch those balls.
It's just going to be inconsistent, and that's a loser's name. That's not a winner's name. So
I don't know, man. I like it. At the 6th round, that's a good.
You love those home run picks, because when they hit. But I mean, I know when they're going to hit. This ain't
gonna Everyone hit. Loves home run picks.
You like the firecrackers, the ones that are a little dangerous. I don't like dangerous.
My middle name.
Tell us about the dangerous guy you got as your next pick, Rick.
Well, and the only reason I didn't like him when we first started this podcast, but Georgie, you kept talking all about Marquise Hollywood Brown, like, and he was super hot last year. He played 14 games, got 584 receptions, But seven touchdowns, that's what really, really hit me. I think he's definitely easily going to leap into the top 15, if not top 10 conversation. And after everything we talked about, I made sure to draft him in my draft last week. So I'm excited because he's my flex. And I'd way rather have this dude in my flex than Gallup. I feel like you're on a losing team if you have Gallup in your flex. But anyway, so he played 50% of his snaps last year as he's recovering from Lisfranc fracture, which I believe is also what Cam Newton had, which took him out for the whole year. So he had a tough injury to get off of. It's going to reduce your speed, but this guy still kicked ass. So 584 yards. I think he's easily going to get over a grand this year, easily past that 1,000-yard. He's got the playmaking ability. He's fast. Have you guys seen how fast this guy is? Just all he's got to do is make it behind them. He can make those 70, 80-yard touchdowns. There is no number two wide receiver. The only number two wide receiver is probably going to be Mark Andrews. Willie Snead, I believe Willie Snead still plays on that team. He's not a threat, so it's all Hollywood. And Lamar, hopefully they could have him pass more than run. But it's nothing but golden. Like I said earlier with Mark Ingram, this team's golden. They're going to score points. So you want some of this real estate, like Hector says. Buy that real estate. And, yeah, I just feel like – and something that I totally think was hot, he gained weight and he got his man body this year. So forgive me, but that makes me go goo-goo gaga because that spells fantasy championship on it if you can get him. Because he's going – where is he going? Like way, way late.
Well, he's going sixth one round. One pick ahead of Gallup.
Yeah, and Gallup sucks. So I can pick around Hollywood Brown. So yeah, just knowing that he's hanging around that dirty crew, it's like, nah, this guy's gonna be a top guy. Oh my god, and the fact that he can be your flex on a team, all three of us are gonna be racing for this guy.
I think so. I agree. I think Hollywood is, I mean, obviously I've been hyping him up a lot this summer. I really like that. It just looks like sometimes he's running at a different gear than the rest of guys. And he's, you look at him, I mean, you know, he only played 50% of his snaps. You get that up to 75-80% as the number one receiver. I think you're looking at the possibility of, you don't want to put this on there, but this could be kind of like a combo. Him and Andrews could be a combo similar to Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Yeah. So I don't necessarily say it's going to be that way right off the bat, but it could be very similar. And that's a scary combination.
It is. He doesn't have, you know, like you're saying, it's them two and nobody else. There's no other competition as far as wide receivers on the Ravens offense to really speak about. So, yeah, that those two guys are going to make a lot of noise. And, yeah, wide receiver 28 to me is just bananas. And that's a good pick, Rick. I can't understand how Hollywood Brown's going that late on such an explosive offense.
I think you've been making good picks too today, Heck. I think
thank you,
George is a little off, but I'm actually excited to see him make horrible treasure picks.
Yeah, man.
Because one man's tesoro is another man's basura.
Exactly. Exactly. We'll see how my basura works this year. Hector, you got one that I think Ricky's going to have mixed feelings about.
Yes, Melvin Gordon, former Charger, former man crush for Rick. Many, many, many a time that I've had Melvin Gordon on my squad. I did gift.
That's the only time I've had him.
I know. And you, yes, but I've had him several times. And every time that I've ever had Melvin Gordon, Rick has propositioned me with a ridiculous trade.
Make it sound dirty. I
propositioned you. You did proposition me with a ridiculous trade request, which I promptly nixed. But yeah, Melvin Gordon, currently RB19. He's going in the fourth round. You know, there's a reason that John Elway scooped him up for his team. And that's not, you know, beat around the bush. It was so that Melvin Gordon can be his bell cow. You know, yes, Philip Lindsay has been there and Royce Freeman's been there. And, you know, there's a lot of talk of, oh, you know, there's going to be a committee and, you know, how are they going to split things up? And it's going to be bad. No, in my opinion, Melvin Gordon is the man. Melvin Gordon's been the man. He puts up monster points. He's been doing that for years with the Chargers. That's not going to change now with the Denver Broncos. He's going to go in there. He's going to be the man. He's going to do great things. He's going to put up a lot of points. And Lindsey will be there to, you know, to give him a breather, I think, to, you know, to spell him a little bit. But there's no reason. You have a guy like Melvin Gordon with the talent of Melvin Gordon. I mean, was it last year? Yes, he held out, but he was what, first round, second round last year? You know, he was
year before, I think.
Was it year before?
He was Melvin Gordon. No, it was last year. Last year. Hold out.
Yeah, he held out,
but I don't think he was drafted that high last year.
But wasn't he projected still? Well, he obviously wasn't drafted high last year because of the holdout. But I think before the holdout, he was still projected to be, you know, first round, second round because he's Melvin Gordon. And he all of a sudden hasn't become someone else. He's a great pass catcher. He's gonna continue to do that. He's gonna continue to score touchdowns. He's unique, you know, and the fact that he's going to RB19, he's going ahead of David Johnson. He's going ahead of, after David Johnson, after Jonathan Taylor, after Leonard Fournette. I mean, yeah, I'm picking Melvin Gordon, or I'm waiting on Melvin Gordon. There's no reason why I should see him going after any of those guys.
I'm going to give you him because I like Fournette better. Okay. However, I think it was a great pick. Melvin Gordon, I think a lot of people are skipping on him. He's there, I think, you know what, he might have some issues with the change in altitude, but they definitely want him to be the lead caballo. Sucks for Philip Lindsay because I love Philip Lindsay. Georgie, I know you do too. The kid is just amazing. Like, when I had him on my team last year, and to just watch him play, when he gets into a rhythm, he's on fire, which sucks because I feel like now he won't get into it, but I feel like Melvin Gordon is more of a Philip Lindsay type player. So they'll be able to flow with each other better. And I think this just spells good news for Drew Lock, because I feel like Drew Lock isn't going to have to put so much weight on his shoulders. The Broncos, I think, need to get back to having a good running game, because back in the, Terrell Davis days, like, that's when they were winning games. That's when they were making a lot of news back in the day. So I love that Melvin Gordon's there. I love that they got Philip Lindsay to help him back. It's like, this team's going to be incredibly fast with these two.
Yep.
Are they fantasy viable? I don't know. I think Melvin Gordon's so good as far as catching the ball that he's definitely, if you can get him, your RB2, you're set.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think it's going to be an interesting, you know, carry split between those two guys. I mean, there were over 404. There were a total of 409 carries for the Broncos last year, and I think over 200 of those, they're going to replicate that. And I think over 200 of those are going to go to Gordon. And if that happens and he gets, you know, 50 to 60 targets, I think that's a good combination for him. And I think they want to be kind of like, I think Vic Fangio being a defensive coordinator, those guys usually want to have a good solid running game as kind of the foundation. So that's why I look at Gordon as being a guy that is going to be good. I will say one thing, one guy that's going behind him, Le'Veon Bell, is just interesting for me in a PPR.
I'd rather have Bell.
Just see it because of the PPR, because in a bad year, Le'Veon Bell got 66 receptions last year. So that just gets me thinking on that. But speaking of getting receptions, we're closing up shop. I'm throwing out there a guy that I've put my reputation on the line, saying that Josh Jacobs is going to be a top five running back this year.
You're going to no reputation.
No reputation. we're only coming up on 4 months in this podcast. But Josh Jacobs going as RB11 right now in the second round, in the seventh. And I would not be surprised. I've got a draft on Monday, which is a 14-team PPR league where I've got the number 10 pick, and I'm looking at Jacobs seriously as a guy that if certain guys are gone, maybe a Derrick Henry and a Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I'm going to look at Josh Jacobs as a guy. I mean, he had 1,150 yards last year in 13 games, which averages out to 1,415 in a full season. He played his final half of his games with a fracture in his shoulder. So he got from week 7 on, he had that shoulder fracture. And I just, to me, that's amazing. You know, people have been hammering on him for not catching a lot of balls, but, you know, he had the
the catch ability when he was at Alabama. And, you know, there's been talk about him working out with Julio Jones, you know, both Alabama products. So I got to think that he's going to work on that he's going to get more balls. He's already talked about the fact that he wants to catch 60 balls this year. So, you know, I know not to trust the players when they say that. But to me, I could very much see his receptions doubling. And if his receptions double to 40, all of a sudden, I think you're looking at a guy who could be coming up around 1,500 yards rushing, and then add in another 300 to 400 yards receiving. And that's a special season. He's such a wonderful player. He's got a great offensive line. I mean, and they added in those speed guys with Bryan Edwards and Henry Ruggs in the draft. So I don't think he's going to be seeing eight men in a box. So I'm fired up about this guy. I think he's, I'm getting real excited.
God, hold on. I need to sip my beer because once again my tongue tastes nasty from that taste you just had.
Hey, I'll go ahead and say it. I'm high on the Raider offense this year, so I have no problem with that.
You're blind too. Anyway, so Josh Jacobs is going to be someone's RB1, which is horrible. The dude has a bad shoulder injury. He had a shoulder fracture that hampered him week 7 until he was finally shut down week 13, which tells me
played through it.
That's not what you want in a player, because what's going to happen is he's going to overwork himself, play on a bad leg, and the week later he's going to get even more hurt and ruin the season. But he's got a young head on him, whatever, and his shoulder's going to hurt. It's going to hurt slowly, and it's just going to make him not want to take that hit a little bit more. He's going to try to be fancier and spin out rather than put the pressure on and actually ram through a guy. So it's just like, I don't like it. He's already losing Tyrell Williams. Yeah, the dude's still going to play, but no, that guy's out. God, I just feel like I like him, but not as my number one running back. I think he's going early. I'd rather have Le'Veon Bell than Josh Jacobs. That's saying a lot. But it's
I just
feel like he's going to break down. There's no reason I think he's going to finish this next season. I think last year, like, not that it was a fluke, but it was a good year. And I just think that last year is exactly what he's going to do for you every year, but don't expect more. I think when he says that he's hoping to catch 60 passes, he meant in practice. He didn't mean in a game.
Well, I'm glad we already have a beer bet on this one, because I think we're...
What's the beer bet?
Whether he gets top five. We made this beer bet about a month ago.
You thought he would be in the top five?
Yeah,
we actually made it on in the June 25 episode. So that was two months ago.
That's like a free beer. Anyway, so, and even Gruden says, Josh Jacobs shared carries at Alabama, so he should be more fresher than other backs, you know, at this point of his career. There's going to be a veteran linebacker out there that's not going to care how fresh Josh Jacobs is. He's going to crack him hard, and Jacobs is going to say, ow, just like the other players who aren't as fresh. So I feel like a lot of hype, and the Raiders do that. They hype up a lot. Their stadium's so much hype, but I'm not going to lie. I drove past it twice this past week. It's ugly. So
it looks like a really nice, like, HP office, like laser printer, like a really nice printer.
Yeah, really nice printer.
Like, it's like the nicest laser printer you've ever seen. That's what the Raiders Stadium looks like.
Exactly.
Like a really nice one though.
Our good friend Vinny Bonsignor said he's been on the inside, and he says from the inside it's pretty spectacular. From the outside, it looks like it's the Death Star.
How crappy.
Yeah, looks like a laser printer.
Yeah, it's like, the Death Star. It's the Death Star from Star Wars.
Car when you were 18 years old, it was probably the best car you've ever seen, even though it was crappy because you were in it. It was yours. You owned it. So I don't listen to anyone inside the Raiders organization, just like I don't listen to any Dallas Cowboy fan talk about how great the Cowboys
are. Don't forget, he's not inside the Raiders organization. He works for the newspaper. He does not work for the Raiders. So let's remember that.
From in there. But
Rick's just being passionate right now. I can hear the sparks coming out of Rick's mouth right now.
I'm sweating it right now.
Oh, my goodness.
He's like perspiring right now. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm almost like a Georgie having spot on picks, but it's like, but you know what? I hope he picks up these guys he mentioned. I hope he does.
I hope I do get Josh Jacobs at the end of the second round. So that'll be, I'll be very happy to get that one.
Him and Gallup, I hope you get. God, I hope you get him.
Well, everybody, bueno es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and for making sure our independent podcast gets out to the familia, all you guys. Please subscribe and leave us a review at Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at FamiliaFFB, as well as our Familia FFB Facebook page. Gracias y otra vez. Todos somos familia. Y póngate la máscara.
Dios amigos.
Salud.